Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. We are all live today in Kate's upstairs adorable guest bedroom that I've never been in before, and I love it up here.
Welcome.
Kate, Bree, Becky, how are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Yeah. Good.
We're about to eat some fall food, so I'm excited that we're all together.
It's the funnest when we're all together. I love it. I spent the afternoon getting ready for our market tomorrow at Christ Church.
I saw that.
Are you going to bring it? What are you bringing?
No, I'm not. I'm bringing myself and money to buy things.
Cool. What are you bringing?
I have cleaning sprays, keeping home t-shirts, air freshener sprays that are essential oil based. I just made some fresh batches of tallow yesterday.
Mm. Ooh, did you do the frankincense?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. I only have six. I underestimated how much tallow I should like cook down. I was telling Jordan today, I either way overestimate and I have like 40 jars that I don't have anything to do with for a long time. And then, or I do like I did this week and I make six of a certain set. So,
is this our third year doing the fall market?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so
sweet. Love it.
So sweet.
Every year for 3 years, we've done this at Christ Church, and it's just a really fun opportunity to support each other. And I try to buy Christmas presents from the stands and just think about things that I might need in the upcoming months. And it's also just a really cool opportunity for like growing that in-group preference of like, if I'm going to give money to someone, I'd rather give it to you. So knowing who does things and how I can support other families. And yeah, it's just cool. And then, of course, it's open to the community and people driving by stop and buy stuff too. But
yeah.
I did candlesticks this year, which I was excited to learn how to make. And then some jar candles, elderberry syrup, and then I got Fruitful and Fearless t-shirts that I'm bringing, and iced coffee to sell by the cup.
I was hoping you would have elderberry because...
Yes.
Yeah.
I should have had you bring
some. Dang it. Oh, you had some for me.
I do have some for you, and I forgot it.
That's our shit. Swing by my house.
It's way out of my way.
But
dang.
Well, I might come to Carmine in a few weeks so we can record in person.
I didn't make any elderberry this year, which is not wise of me because
you should have just stayed this weekend and sold honey at the market.
Yeah. Well, you see, I haven't been selling honey because it's been selling out. So
quickly,
like
rude of people who live close to you to buy it.
My father-in-law still does have lots of it. But it's just not worth it for me a lot of times.
Yeah,
like pay to go to like a fair or something because
this will just buy it
to set up. Mm-hmm. Well, let me know next year.
Do it. Yeah, you should. And you get to hang out with us for the day,
and I get to see all the cool things because like I'm buying a sweatshirt from your
sister.
Not you. They can't see me anyway.
Yeah.
I'm buying a sweatshirt from someone's sister-in-law.
Hey, Anora asked when I got here, Anora came up to me and she goes, why do you guys look alike?
I know.
Pointing to me and Kate, she goes, are you guys twins?
We're going to make everyone creep now.
Kate
and Becky look very much alike. I actually thought you guys
really?
Were twins.
Yeah.
And Audrey and June look really similar in hair color and everything. And so people think that they're sisters or cousins.
Yeah.
And then they look at us and we have similar hair color, like olive skin tone. And so we just let people think, like, we'll be out and about. And then my kids, we're aunts to each other's kids.
Yeah.
They call us aunt, whatever.
So you're basically.
And so we throw everyone off in public. And we were at a yard sale this past summer, and one little lady at a yard sale was with someone, and Audrey called out and said, hi, Aunt Becca. And the little old lady looked at Audrey and she said, oh, look, it's your aunt and cousin. And I was like, yep.
Just yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something about fall that makes me want to light a candle. The darker days, the chillier temperatures, it makes me want to be home and feel cozy, but without the endocrine disruption. Thankfully, Gilead Girls have just come out with 6 fall-scented tallow candles. Butterscotch and bourbon, evergreen and apple, fallen leaves, sugared pumpkin butter, fresh coffee, and cinnamon roll. I personally have the sugared pumpkin butter and I love it. No funky ingredients in them. You can feel okay about burning these around your family and you have all the fall vibes. This Christian company shares our values when it comes to quality of ingredients that benefit our bodies. They also make tallow for skincare products. I have been trying out their frankincense whipped tallow, and so far I really love it. I've been using it on my face. So check them out at Gilead Girls on Facebook, Instagram, and their Etsy, gileadgirls.etsy.com for purchases. You can enter fruitful15 for 15% off your purchase. That's fruitful15.
Well, and our husbands have similar qualities, yeah, too.
Their gingers.
Yeah, so gingers.
I mean, yeah. It's all fun and games until no one knows who they can marry and who they can't marry.
That's true.
And then it backfires on them. You're like, oh, no, we're not really related.
Yeah. That wouldn't be weird. I promise.
Yeah. So anyways, tomorrow's Christchurch Fall Market. So we're excited about that. But yeah, what are you doing tomorrow, Bree?
Let me think about that. We have a birthday party. So Bellamy, my youngest, is 9 months old, and we call it her best friend. She has a little best friend, Eleanor, and her birthday party is tomorrow. So we're going to that, and then we're just going to take it easy.
It sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Cool. So a while back, probably a month or two ago, we did a series on worship work helps submit fear nothing love, these biblical action words for women, and one of them was fear nothing. So there will be probably some repeat stuff in this episode from that, so if you want to go back and listen to that. But we wanted to do an episode on being daughters of Sarah, and we get this phrase from 1 Peter 3:5, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. I love this verse. Jared did a Mother's Day sermon 1 year on being daughters of Sarah, and just how encouraging that sermon was. I'll always remember it. You know how there's those certain sermons from your life, mm-hmm, that just, I'll not forget that sermon. It was good. But we thought that this would be a good roundtable discussion talking about fearing nothing, being daughters of Sarah, and what that looks like in a Christian woman's life. So who wants to start us off?
So I actually spoke at a conference not too long ago, and I picked that scripture to talk about. But I also tied in Genesis 18, which talks about Sarah and talks about when the angel came to her and told her that she would be pregnant, have a baby, and she laughed at God. And God said, why did your wife laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh.
God didn't laugh.
Yeah, you did. And then I tied it into the Proverbs 31 woman who laughs at the days to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just an interesting thought. I actually had to wrestle with that thought for a long time and asked Mason about it, and he just wasn't as interested in it as I was. So I just wrestled with that, and I thought there's actually a really cool dynamic here if you relate, taking scripture all the way from Genesis, then you go to what? Is it 1 Peter? It's 1 Peter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then all the way to 1 Peter, and then Proverbs is there in between. And so you have Sarah who laughed, and I'm sure astonishment, but it was also like disbelief, right? She was like, I cannot have a baby at this old age, you know? And actually, Abraham even laughed. We're not going to dog Sarah because we're told to be like her. Abraham laughed too in an above or a previous scripture in Genesis. But anyway, she laughs in disbelief. But then, interestingly enough, she has Isaac, right? And she names him Isaac, and that means laughter. And so it was like God turned her laugh of disbelief into a laugh of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're told to be like that, be like daughters of Sarah. And then you have Proverbs 31, the woman who laughs at the days to come. So it's like this fearless, really faith-filled, fearless laugh that is coming out of her. But it wasn't that initially. Mm-hmm. It was more disbelief.
Like, yeah,
this can't happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought
that was, yeah. It's just, it can be in disobedience. We can laugh in disobedience
of like a mocking of God.
Yeah,
like, you know,
can't do this.
Yeah, and then it can be a laugh, just a joy filled. Like, I'm just imagining like days when things are really crazy, mm-hmm. and you're either like in the pit or yeah. you're laughing at yeah. how crazy the day is, yeah. and still able to be joyful. And so, yeah, it's like the same kind of action, but different heart. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I think about anxiety a lot because you were told to be like Sarah and think about what Sarah went through. I mean, her husband put her at other men's feet, you yeah. know, and said,
twice.
She witnessed her, you know, and we're told to be like that, to fear mm-hmm. nothing, right? To fear absolutely nothing. And the only way you can do that is through faith in the Lord. The only way you can laugh, like the Proverbs 31 woman, is to trust God. Because if we're laughing at God, you know, then, and we're laughing at his promises and the things, his commands, the things he tells us to do, then we're not going to laugh in a fearful way. We're going to be ridden with anxiety, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think that fear is tied in with a lack of submission
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways, where we can either be submitted to God and be submitted to our husbands, trusting both of these, and just knowing that God takes care of us, or we can be fearful, not really submitting to God and his sovereignty and his goodness and provision over our life, and thinking that we have some control on the matter, which
yeah.
gives way to all kinds of fear and anxiety. And the same with our husbands, too. We can think that we should take the reins and not submit to them, and that also gives way to lots of fear and anxiety, too, because we think, again, that we are somehow little gods in control of things.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that scripture in 1 Peter talks about before it gets to that. Mm-hmm. It talks about submitting to your husband. I actually wrote down here, I don't want to keep talking too much. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to let someone else talk. But I said, let's see, talking about that scripture, it's a carefree way to live, not a careful way to live. So like we talked about, a life that's free from anxiety, it's full of trust and obedience to the Lord, which is submission. It's mm-hmm. That's what it looks like. It looks like submission to the Lord's will for our life, which we're told in different ways how we are supposed to submit. So I was thinking in modern day, it's the opposite of this feminist movement.
Yes.
That's yeah. loud, boasty, yeah. you know, trusting in ourselves and our own devices, our own accomplishments. And then I was thinking, you know, Proverbs 31 woman, she submits to her husband. She makes her arms strong for the task in front of her. She's bearing and raising children. She's mothering the motherless, extending her hand to the needy. So I was just thinking practically that looks like, you know, praying for my husband and with my husband when it comes to decisions, whether those are big or small, you know, that's submission. Or, you know, cooking for your family, healthy and nutritious and fun meals, being a good steward of your finances. That way you can give to the needy. Bearing children, even if you're faced with fear, like what if it's an unplanned pregnancy? What if it's a baby that you didn't plan on, but fearlessly bearing that child, you know, when we are right now slaughtering our children. There's so many ways I think we fall into fear.
You shared just briefly about having Belle after you almost died.
Yeah.
Because that was a great act of
yeah,
fearlessness.
That's true. Yeah. So I went septic with my third, not with my third baby, but after I had my third baby, Henry. I deal with chronic mastitis, have with all my kiddos. Breastfed him for almost a year and dealt with that chronic mastitis. I never had answers for that. And so I just kept chugging along. Didn't think there was any problem other than obviously it was just like hard on me, you know. When I say chronic, I mean, I was getting it every 2 weeks, every month for that first year. And it got worse with Henry for whatever reason. We now know that I have several health issues. That's probably part of the culprit. But right before he turned one, woke up one morning, had mastitis, no big deal, always had this. By 6 p.m. that night, I was starting to go septic and didn't know it. My husband only knew because he'd watched his dad go septic when his dad had cancer. Yeah. And by the time I got to the ER, I was a bit delirious, spent 4 days in the ICU, almost lost my life to that. Sepsis is a serious issue. So
I could get that from mastitis, by the way.
Any infection. You can literally.
But it's like I never took mastitis seriously before mm-hmm. your situation.
I obviously was not taking mastitis seriously. And that was probably part of it. If you have mastitis, women, please lay in bed, treat it like you have the flu.
Yeah.
Because I was not, I just kept pushing through. And I think I built up a tolerance to it is what I did because I'd had it so many times, so often. So, I mean, you can go septic even from a cut.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are talking about being fearless. So don't stress yourself
right
out. Maybe use some peroxide.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, after that, I came back home. That was really hard to walk through for so many reasons. My health has really declined since then. And I think, let's see, when Henry was 3 and a half, we thought, hey, I'm doing better. Like, we tried to focus on my health, and we really, really wanted more than 3 kids. We've always really wanted a big family, and we said we would have as many as the Lord wanted us to have. And I wasn't, like, 100% back to where I was going to be, but I thought, I'm feeling better, and Mason and I prayed about it, and I don't know. I mean, I really think it was just the grace of the Lord and the love that he's put in my heart for children. My own mom, she openly shares this. She had an abortion. And so walking through that too and seeing how the Lord has redeemed her story and just, I have always just wanted to, I mean, I would just lay my life out, you know, for my kids. I get teary-eyed just thinking about it. And there is a time where you have to kind of know your boundaries and stop. Like, that's kind of where we're at now. Because my health, you know, has kind of hit an all-time low. Mm-hmm. My husband's like, you know, we probably should pull the reins back and not have another. Because I did get pregnant with Belle. We were super excited. That was sort of planned. We, you know, we felt like, okay, I've healed and we want more and we're just going to trust the Lord with this. And then I got pregnant and that pregnancy was super difficult. And I was like, oh, maybe I made the wrong decision. But then I was like, no, I didn't. God would not have allowed this to happen. Mm-hmm. This is completely out of my hands. Like, I may have, quote unquote, planned it.
Right.
But God could have closed my womb.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't, mm-hmm. you know, and still to this day, he can still make things happen. We could have more, even though we're not going to actively try for that.
Yeah.
He could lead us to adopt or who knows. But children are just so important. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you don't have to have a certain amount of kids or whatever, but I don't know. The Lord, that was just a grace of the Lord. But I think just walking with him, and also when we hit those hard things, like going septic and about losing your life is pretty serious. And after you've been through a couple of those things, I think you do, if you're walking with the Lord rightly, you really do kind of, you gain an endurance,
yeah.
where you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
You know, like this sounds silly, but I hate throwing up. It's the worst. I almost like I would rather have a sepsis pain because I don't even remember it half of it. I was delirious. And over the course of like the last 2 years, just having more kids, we've thrown up a lot. And in January, I got a really terrible stomach bug when Belle was really little and Mason was going on a work trip. Passed out in the tub, bad. Like, Nora calls her dad and is like, something's wrong. Like, it was that bad. And now I'm like, you know what? It's not so bad. I've done it so many times now. So just face those fears head on. And I don't know. There's some thankfulness I have of walking through hardship because it does create a fearlessness and an endurance in you.
Well, the scripture that trials produce perseverance and perseverance. It's like there are good things that happen through trials and not just the obvious things like with your story, like you have Belle. Like,
yeah,
amazing. And there's something just so beautiful about that story because it's you laying your life down for someone else.
It's like, yeah.
I think that this is so important to bring another human being into the world that I'm willing to risk my life to do it when culture is like, I won't even risk my free time for this pregnancy.
Right.
You know, or I won't even risk my finances for this pregnancy. Like, I can't afford to have a baby, so I'll abort this human being.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'll risk my very life because I love this person so much. And I want another member of my family and I want to see my generations. And I want, like, the name of Christ. I want the name of Christ to go forth. And the biggest way that that happens is through raising Christian children to go after us and to keep going with this. But it's just cool, and thanks for sharing, because
that's empowering. Like, the feminist movement, it's not empowering to do the things that they're saying. They feel that, but laying down your life, making any time a woman gets pregnant and has a baby, they're laying down their life, they're sacrificing. You could die Mm-hmm. You could. It's so empowering to walk through that, you know,
yeah,
and to come out the other side mm-hmm. and say, I did this.
I was thinking as you were talking too, it's important to remember in any trial, like I think it's easy to look at what other people are going through,
mm-hmm.
something really hard and devastating or sad or whatever. And you look at it and you think, man, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they look like they've got so much peace. They are totally, you know, yeah, they might be grieving, you know, someone or something, or they might have their moments. But I'm sure we can all look at a story or we've seen something where you look at the people and you think, wow, they have peace that surpasses understanding. Right. And I've had moments where I've looked at other people going through something really rough, or they're in the hospital, or they, you know, whatever it is. And I have had a tendency in the past to just think I could never be as calm as they are, or as peaceful as they are. But it's important to remember that we are not given that. If you're not going through it, the Lord is not giving you the ability to endure it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not giving you the peace. You have no idea what that would feel like to be going through whatever it is, a diagnosis, the loss of a loved one, miscarriage, whatever it is. He gives us the grace and the peace and the mercy to sustain. And so it's never helpful to look at somebody else and think, how do they have that peace? I would hope I would have that. Well, you would.
Mm-hmm.
He would give that to you.
Well, I think it's important too, not to borrow trouble.
Yes.
Because so often I think we can, you know, like you said, look at a situation and say, well, I could never walk through
uh-huh.
that diagnosis, or I could never walk through that kind of loss or that kind of heartache or that kind of hurt. But that's us kind of projecting ourselves into a future situation
right.
that the Lord has not given us the grace to steward.
Yeah.
He has not given us the strength to endure. He has not equipped us for that trial that we are worrying about and kind of going down rabbit holes mm-hmm. over. But then when you are faced with that trial, he does provide, whether that's providing a way out, whether that's providing strength in the meantime, whether that's providing people around you, or all of the above. And my mind always goes to Isaiah 43:1-2. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. So the Lord never promises that we're not going to have trials. In fact, he promises the exact opposite, that we are going to have trials, that we are going to have health issues, we're going to have loss, we're going to have all of these hard things happen. It's just part of living in a fallen, broken world, but we have that hope from him of, we're not going to be by ourselves. We're not going to be without his help. So there's going to be someone else in the fire with us. There's going to be someone yeah. walking through the rivers with us. It's not that we don't go through those things. It's that when we go through the river, it doesn't overwhelm us.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the fiery furnace, there's another one next to us,
yeah.
you know, giving us the strength to endure it and saving us, whether that means saving us and taking us home
yeah.
or saving us physically and delivering us that way. But I think it's important, whatever you're facing, whatever the fear-inducing situation is that you have in front of you, keeping eternity in view and remembering that everything this side of heaven is light and momentary.
Mm-hmm.
Even the deepest valleys, the darkest situations, the hardest things, the most heart-wrenching situations are still considered, per scripture, are still considered light and momentary trials. And we know that this life is a vapor. And if we focus so, so closely on holding on to things of this life, we miss the beauty of eternity, because we're so focused on staring at, you know, the pile of mud in front of us that we miss the glory through the trees, you know?
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that you were created for such a time as this. Like mm-hmm. this is, God made you specifically for this time, and he has a purpose in it, and he has a purpose for you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And to not think, like you were saying, I could never do that. Well, you weren't created for that one.
Right,
you were
right,
created yeah. for this one. And to not feel like a victim of your situation, but
yes.
to be empowered and to
yes.
know, like, God created me for this moment, and help me to glorify you in it, Lord, and help me to make the very most of it for your glory and honor.
So just remembering that, like, there is specific purpose in it. God is sovereign in it, and I have work to be done in it.
Mm-hmm. I think one passage that I like a lot is Job, the very end of Job, because obviously Job has been taken through all of these trials, right? He's had his family killed. He's lost all of his property, all of his livestock. His health has declined. All of these things are just taken from him. And at the end, Job 38, Job has been questioning the Lord, and God answers him out of the whirlwind and says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what words basis sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" And God goes on like that for chapter 38, chapter 39, chapter 40. And then partway through 40, after God is saying, "These are all of the things that I have done," Job says, 40 verse 3, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth.'"
Never mind.
"Spoken once,
never mind.
I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." And it's Job kind of saying, "Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
Never.
You are Lord. I am not. You are sovereign. I am not. You are in control. I am not."
Have you heard the ghost ship song?
No.
Oh my gosh. You've got to hear it.
Oh, I have heard that.
Okay, Ghost Ship does a song of this, and it is beautiful. So if you just look up Ghost Ship,
yeah,
what is it?
Job 40.
40, maybe.
48.
Yeah, look up something along those lines, and it's beautiful and amazing.
I'm going to have to look that up, because the whole time you're reading that, I'm thinking, like, this is me with my child. Like, my child is like, "Who are you?" And like, lecture. And then they're like, at the end, "Okay, I've learned how to shut up now."
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, my favorite part, too, is that God keeps going. He doesn't stop after Job says
it's
that. He goes on for another chapter. He's like, just to really hammer in how sovereign and in control I am.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 42, Job says, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted."
Mm-hmm.
And why not approach things with a fearless heart? If we know that no purpose can be thwarted, we know that nothing is going to change about our circumstances. If we are cowering in a corner, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to get better that way. Why not move forward fearlessly, knowing that we have the creator of the universe literally with us, leading us, guiding us, loving us through it?
Okay, let's talk practically. What are some things that you guys find helpful in seasons that you could be fearful?
Everyone needs to journal like Kate in the good seasons.
Yeah,
their hard season.
Write letters to yourself.
Write letters. Yes. I'm not great
even
at journaling.
Mental letters.
I need to be better. But one thing that I have started doing is writing down even the little ways that actually Becky and I are part of a little, I don't even know what it's called. It's an on the note
shared
app,
note.
A shared note. And there's four of us on it. And it's "Good Things Are Always Happening to Us" is the title. And we just put all the little blessings and the big blessings and all the ways the Lord provides.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's constantly being updated. And it's so encouraging because I feel like it dings once every day, at least somebody's adding something to it. And it's so cute. Something as little as "my kiddo's not in pull-ups anymore," which is it's not
that little
winder.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
But like,
there's no poop on my floor.
Yeah. To, you know, having big things that are the Lord is gifting, or
you guys got that truck.
Yeah, we got a truck that we didn't need, but the Lord blessed us with a newer truck. And, Ben had an older truck and it was great and ran well, but I ripped my toe open on some rust on the running board last summer. And I told Ben, I said, "Audrey's going to get to the age where she wants to get in the truck herself and she's going to rip her foot off." And, you know,
Rust.
And I was like, the
bad guy.
I know.
Dumpster diving.
Yeah, no, seriously. I don't need tetanus on my list of things.
You know, I didn't fear the whole makeup.
I know. I don't think I have the things at home as much.
She clearly was like, you know. Hey, can't handle that.
Yeah.
We're going to give her a shot.
Okay. But I think one of the things that I need to be better at journaling. I really do. But one of the things that I have to do is look at all the saints in the Bible who have come before me. And the way that the Lord, even in their hard seasons, really, really hard seasons, that I will never go through.
Right. Not being eaten by a lion in front of a bunch
being
of
in a fire, that's not burning you.
And I imagine birthing babies back in the
Old Testament. Oh, I know.
Or even New Testament.
And just seeing the way, well, I actually highlighted a quote from a Puritan. His name's Thomas Brooke. I'm reading a book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And one of the remedies he listed was to consider the other precious saints that were shining lights on earth are now triumphing in heaven, that held on in religious trials, notwithstanding all the troubles and dangers that have surrounded them. And they are at peace, triumphing with Christ. And their life was but a vapor, and they did what the Lord had established for them to do. And now they are happy. Like, they're content. They've done what the Lord, you know... Well, not all the time. Not everyone's perfect, as is listed in the Bible. But but it's encouraging to read that people who went through trials that I will never approach have endured to the end. He kept them.
There's a book called Trial and Triumph by Richard Hanula. And Ransom and I just started it today. It's a part of his curriculum, and it is just church history. Like, stories from church history, from, like, C.S. Lewis to... Perpetua? Is that what you're saying? Like, just
Perpetua?
Perpetua, maybe.
Perpetua. Look at us.
I don't know.
Perpetua.
I'm right on
that. I know.
Because I have a friend who named their daughter Perpetua.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
right. I think that's right. That's everyone else, you Google us and figure out.
Let us know how to pronounce it. Please send me a voice memo on Instagram. But yeah, it's just all the stories from church history. And it's like such a great cloud of witnesses to come before us.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It sounds corny,
but... I have a weird one too, but so go ahead.
Okay.
Say you're corny.
Okay. Learning, like committing to memory, psalms, hymns, and spirituals.
Why is that corny?
Yeah.
I feel like it's biblical.
I feel like it's a Sunday school answer.
Jesus.
It is.
Scripture.
You know, I get it. I get it now, but that's good.
Yeah.
Especially.
Solid answer.
Thanks. I think it's really cool that we sing the psalms. And those especially. There are some, and I wrote down a few songs right now that are really comforting for me facing some unknowns and some, you know, just not sure what's up ahead. And Christ is Sure and Steady Anchor is a solid song and just a good reminder of whatever season you're in, whether it's a good season, a hard season, Christ is our sure and steady anchor. And if you get into a really hard time and you need a song to sing, that's a really easy one to just pull from your heart and start singing. It is well. He will hold me fast. And then, was it last week that you've asked me? It was Ransom.
But we sang it on Sunday.
We did.
I know.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah.
Ransom looked at me. He was like, is Becky here?
Oh, I think
so sweet. I had a hard day again, just facing some unknowns for me personally. And Jordan knew that. And she sent me a Voxer. She said, I'm thinking about Psalm 23 for you today and praying this for you. And then Ransom quoted it for me over Voxer, and hearing his voice over, like, it brought me to tears. And it was the kind of day where I was walking into situations that would have ordinarily crippled me, like emotionally, just really crippled me in fear. And I texted Jordan. I was like, I'm walking in laughing. Like, I'm joking around with Brandon.
We're the problems.
We were laughing at the day. And I told Jordan and Kate this too, but that's not my natural lean in these kinds of situations. My natural lean is very fearful, is very just easy to dumpster dive into all of the thoughts and the scary things that could happen and all that. Anyway, it's probably one of my biggest personal fears
And walking into a day like that, literally laughing, where that's not my natural. And it was right after hearing Psalm 23. And then as we were walking in, I had that, since we sing that psalm in church, I had that tune in my head. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to sing this, you know? And so those are the four right now that I kind of have in my back pocket. And for me, I feel like the nighttime is the hardest. Mm-hmm. During the day, I'm so busy with three children.
Mm-hmm. It gets quiet.
You know, but when it gets quiet and, you know, like everybody's tucked in, everything's kind of winding down, but things are also kind of dark because we do lots of dim lights in the evening, you know, it's like that's when the thoughts start to creep in. And I actually just got off of social media for a little bit. I was like, I'm just going to take a break. If my mind is having a hard time not fearing, I'm just going to take a break from that. So if you are in a season that's hard or you're just really struggling through fear, quiet the world.
Yes.
And step more into the word. Spend time in the word. Turn off the TV at night. Turn off social media. Spend time in the word. Learn some good songs. But yeah, I was prepping stuff for the market and thoughts started creeping in. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to sing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's asleep. I'm just going to start singing. So I was singing while working on the tallow and stuff. And sure enough, I went to bed pretty at peace.
Awesome.
And praise God.
It's grace.
Mm-hmm. So mine's a weird one. It may just be personal. It may not apply to anyone else in the world.
So
I'm sure it will. I'll announce it. People will do it.
Everyone will start doing it.
New trend.
So I just have noticed with myself that I am far more stressed out, anxious, whatever, whenever I am not at home much.
Yes.
Whenever I am just like really busy on the go, having a lot to do, I am just short and quick-tempered and stressful and fearful. And then I have a day at home and I'm like, man, it feels like medicine to me just to be home doing my things, taking care of my people and all the things that go with that. It feels like therapy or medicine or sunshine or whatever, but it's really good for me. And I'm like, huh, maybe there is something about the woman whose feet are never at home in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that I've been trying to be cautious of, because it can be very easy, especially when you homeschool, to be doing something every single day, like out of the house doing things. Well, of course, a working person, all the time. But when you're homeschooling, it's easy to fill up your days when you don't really have to. But it's easy to fill up your days with things that are fun or good. But sometimes a better thing is just being home and being slow and being intentional and thoughtful with your time. And mine is, it's helpful for me during times of high stress or whatever to be home more, to be intentional, to just be like, nope, we're actually not going to go to the library. We have a million books on our shelves.
Yep.
We are staying home. But we're actually not going to go to the park. We have a yard. And we're going to stay home. So that's mine.
That's a great one, because it kind of even ties into like silencing the world, because we live in an age where we can be so busy with all these things that are distractions. Mm-hmm. They are distracting. Mm-hmm. They just are. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. Like going to the library is not bad. But if you're going to the library one day and then going to the park and then you have your homeschool co-op and then you have a play date and then you're bringing somebody a meal and you're having dinner, or programs, you know, as our kids get older, they get into more programs. And I think more people need to hear that it's okay. Your kids will be okay. Mm-hmm. I was not in programs.
Right.
I turned out fine.
Not organized sports.
I was to be, I will say I'm a terrible athlete. So if you want to be an athlete, don't take my advice there. But I think we don't give ourselves time to sit in the hard seasons like that we're walking through. And I think if we're distracting ourselves with things like social media and all these busy things, even if we are still in the word and we're still going to church, if we are just constantly distracting ourselves, and we're not facing those problems head on, you will not be fearless. I'll just be straight up blunt about it. And that's hard. That means maybe sitting in your home with dim lighting and crying. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. But you have to face those feelings and not sulk in them.
Right.
You know, and not dumpster dive like we've been talking about. But
not be real. Not ignore it. And think through it. And think biblically through it. And pray and talk. and mm-hmm. get wise counsel and yeah. be honest with the people that are your people, your husband and mm-hmm. People around you that are safe. But I think it is important because we don't take time to get healthy in like a spiritual, yeah. emotional
we want
way.
Fix.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'm just going to ignore it or push it down really deep until I explode one day.
It will happen.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to look around and go, why?
Yeah. Why did I? It'll probably be on the day when you're going to the library and you're rushed and you're like, put your shoes on. You know?
Yeah. Why does no one ever put shoes on?
So I think too, looking for the good. You know, look for the good things that are happening. It's easy to see negative stuff. We live in a pretty negative culture, I feel like, sometimes. And look for the good stuff. Instead of, like, one thing we started doing with the kids is the penny reward system that Abby Halberstadt talks about in M is for Mama. Just to start looking for the good stuff that the kids are doing. And my goodness, guys, I had the most obedient children last week. They started it. And even this week, they're looking around going, what else can I do? Mom? Can I pick something up? Can I do this? Mommy, do you see me putting my clothes on?
Yeah.
You know?
Do I get a penny for that?
Do I get a penny?
So do you hand them the penny? Or do you put like a penny somewhere?
So they have two little jars on the counter.
Okay.
And I have like a mama and daddy penny jar
that you can take your penny
out of.
Okay, see, I've been giving my kids pennies for killing gnats because we got problems right now because I got lots of fruit. And I always, they like rack it up. They're like, you owe me 10 pennies. And I'm like, I know, but I need to get my own jar of pennies.
Yes.
Somewhere close. So I'm not like digging in my wallet.
Trying to like, yes, rummage for pennies.
I mean, you could do it for gnats. You could do it for good, positive.
Whatever good things you're
whatever kids things. Like pennies.
Yes. Yeah. And we actually, so we have a jar for each kid and then we have the one in the center. And then we have a list of, I think it's like 4 or 5 non-tangible things. Like if they save up 75 pennies, then they get a date with daddy or a date with mommy.
That's
and then one of them is we get to go on a park date. And then another one is, what was it? You get to stay up 30 minutes past bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get to have a game night with mom or dad or things like that. So they're all not tangible things, which makes it really easy to weave into our day. But just as a parent looking for ways to look for the good, because some days, especially if you are in a season of high stress, the one time your child doesn't put their shoes on right away, your brain goes, why are you always doing this?
You care nothing.
And that's not.
And you're going to have to do a big old apology.
Yeah. Yes. You have to repent and repent, rejoice, repeat.
Yeah.
Right. We talked about. But it makes it so easy to look for the good stuff because the kids are constantly trying to find good things to do too. But then too, on the days where you're going, why is nobody listening? You can go, okay, wait, look at the jars. They are listening.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't this one time.
Mm-hmm.
But as a mom, when you have littles and you're in a season of high stress, or you're really afraid of things, or you're feeling fearful or anxious or nervous, it's easy to project some of those feelings onto them when that's not their
mission, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. It's not their problem. Yeah. It's something that you have to settle between you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. But that's a little anecdote. But
cultivate gratitude.
Yeah.
I love that.
The little good notes thing is helpful too.
One thing I wanted to encourage everybody to do too is, I completely agree. Like, as an extroverted person, I tend to be on the go a lot, and I notice it affects me and it affects Audrey quite a bit if we don't have enough scheduled time at home.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, there have been, especially when I was fresh postpartum, there were times where it would get weird where I thought, it's fine that I haven't seen people in 4 days. I don't need to. And one thing I think it's just important to know, not that we need to constantly look inward, but I think it is important to know what you should be doing, whether you need to get, if you've been in the house for a week.
Right. Maybe, everybody has their tendencies.
Right. And maybe you do need to go somewhere. Maybe you just need to ask a friend if you and your kids, if you have kids, can just come over for brunch or something. And you just need to be in the presence of other believers and just enjoy time with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that community, that is, I will always encourage people to find Christian community and feed into that. Not so people can come to your rescue and encourage you, but because we really are made for genuine community with believers.
Yeah.
And so in any season, whether it's a hard one or an easy one, you will be benefited and others will be benefited by you being in community with them. And so, yeah, I guess just knowing and just asking the Lord, too, if you truly don't know what you need, just pray about it.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't know.
You don't.
Sometimes you're like, I'm not in a good place, but I don't know what would make it better.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Lord will just literally send someone over.
That's true.
Like, there have been particular days, especially in fresh postpartum, where Ben had just gone back to work and I was like, woo, I am struggling today, you know? Like, just whether it was just, you know, when you don't get much sleep and it's your first kid and you're like, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Are we good?
I know.
And lo and behold, it always seemed like that was a meal train day. Somebody was coming over.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's another thing too, not to rehash previous episodes, but if you are bringing a meal and you're trying to read the room, because sometimes moms really need, you know, another person that's not their husband, or God bless the husbands, but you know, everybody needs, and sometimes the husbands come along too, but it's just, sometimes it is nice to have somebody to talk to, and then other times you can gauge it.
A meal and a mini therapy session.
Yes.
Yes.
And and honestly, like, what is therapy other than, maybe this is wrong to say, what is therapy other than we need to talk?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it should be more organic.
Yeah. And a lot of times we do need that. Like, we just need to say it all out loud. We need to talk to each other. So.
And if you say things, if you say things out loud, sometimes it sounds so insane.
Yeah.
Right. That you're like, I know it's going to sound crazy. I have to verbalize it for me, though.
Yeah.
And then you
and
say it.
And we both chuckle and let it go out of my brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what you've been stewing on for 3 days suddenly doesn't matter anymore.
It's gotten
so ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's being fearless.
Yeah.
You aren't worried about if that person thinks you're
crazy. Yeah.
You know, you're just.
They already know you are.
Yeah. I was kidding.
That's true.
Yeah.
We all are.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else to wrap up, daughters of Sarah?
I think just keep in mind that the Lord sees all, He knows all, He ordains all, and He's sovereign over all.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of peace that can become that can come from just resting in that.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust Him.
Yeah. Be like Sarah. Be fearless and Christ-like in our trials. All right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.